If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
My job is driving me crazy.
Sorry.
Do you hate your job or does your job hate you?
Sorry. Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
My career crisis.
Hello again, and thank you for downloading and sticking with us. This is My Career Crisis. I'm Ruth Barnes, and we're nearly at the end of season two. But we have a few more crises to get stuck into. And in fact, today we are revisiting a former career crisiser, just the official term for a returnee. Sue, do you remember Sophie?
I do very well, and I'm really wanting to find out what happened.
What happened?
Yeah.
It was a great episode, wasn't it?
It certainly was. So just to refresh everybody's memories, Sophie was about to give birth. It all went very well, I'm sure. And she had this wonderful bar, and she was worried about telling her business partner because she hadn't done that. And we talked her through that. Now I want to know what happened next.
What happened next? And there has been some drama, you know. We only like people to come back on the podcast if there's been significant drama in their lives, and there has been. So we welcome back Sophie from season one. I feel like we need a cheer or something here now. Hello, welcome back.
Hello there. Hi.
Great to see you again. I've just listened back to episode one, which is kind of weird now because I've met Golda, who's your lovely little daughter, who's being jiggled around outside the studio as we speak. It was a really great episode because you had all the right ingredients. You were pregnant. You were doing it on your own. You had this great bar in Peckham that you ran with your mate. And you were terrified about telling your partner about the fact that you were pregnant. How is this going to impact the business? You guys have been going for 3 years, I think it was.
Yes. So instead of me waffling on about what Sophie's concerns were, should we hear a little clip from episode two of season one? Here we go.
What I'm very interested in, though, is that you've described her as someone you really trust, you've got a lot of history with, but you haven't told her you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Why?
The idea that I was going to go out and do this on my own, really deliberately, is scary. And I did not tell many people about my plans whatsoever. And I just thought to myself, well, when I, you know, if I fall pregnant, that's when I'll start dealing with it. That's one thing. And then on a second level, I think I didn't want to let her down. So the ramifications of what I'm about to do feel massive for a business that relies heavily on both of us, or at least it certainly did, you know, a year ago, 6 months ago. And so the idea that it will absolutely freak her out. And it will. Maybe it won't.
So, Sophie, we've got to ask, how did it go, first of all, telling your business partner? Let's kind of go right back to that moment.
Well, I was super nervous. I was literally shaking. I was round at her house and we were doing some work, and I just was like, oh, I've got something to tell you, I'm having a baby. And she was absolutely amazing and sort of just was so positive and thrilled for me and said all the right things and did all the right actions. And we didn't talk at all about the nitty-gritty or the bits and bobs or the how it might impact on the business. It was just congratulations, well done, this is amazing, I love you.
I think Sue said that was going to happen.
Well, when you spoke about her so warmly, and that, you know, you were quite different characters, but that you'd worked so successfully together. I just thought, why would she not be happy when she knew it was something that you really wanted?
Yeah.
And it was true. I mean, I absolutely understand why you were so concerned about it, because it was, you know, it sort of felt a bit sneaky as far as you were concerned.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, isn't she lovely?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I told her that we then took probably actually a few months to really come to the sort of how it would work. I think I had decided, I think I maybe talked about it here actually, that I'd take 3 months off with zero contact, 3 months with a bit more contact. And then after 6 months, I would then look again at how I would come back to the business. All of my staff were really supportive. We had a general manager who was very supportive. It was a really nice time, actually. It was also very nice to sort of be in a very safe space, getting larger and larger, as it were. Letting go, you know, gradually of the business, I suppose. Trying desperately to do some future-proofing, which we will soon find out how I failed on that one, but desperately trying to sort of look at different ways to expand the business and where I could fit in while both being pregnant and on maternity leave and then coming back with a small baby. And that all seemed to be going well. I mean, do you want me to bring us up to speed to this moment today?
Well, I think let's get down to what happened. Did you stick to that plan, first of all? Did you take 3 months off with no contact?
Yes. I mean, there may have been like a moment of contact whereby she might have said you need to sign this, but pretty much Polly absolutely kept her word, and I couldn't have done it any. I mean, when I look at, say, women in the States and think, how on earth would you have done that? I mean, I had no desire, absolutely no desire to do any kind of, have any kind of contact.
But that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you were really concerned about that, because I think we said your business was your baby.
Yeah,
And but isn't it interesting that when you did have a baby, things were much clearer?
Yeah. Oh my God, they were so clear. I mean, literally, and Polly actually came and helped me out as a friend, not as a partner. And we didn't talk about the business then either, really. And actually, it was only secondhand that I had heard what was going on with the business, actually.
So that brings us up to the current crisis, because there is a fresh crisis.
Yes.
And it's interesting because we had called that episode "My Work Is My Baby, Help I'm Pregnant," but now that the work baby, unfortunately,
yes,
has got, what happened? What a nightmare.
Yes. So one of the key things that I'd identified way back in the beginning when I got pregnant was the lease. And we had signed a 3-year lease. We knew this. It was up in November of this year. And when I found out I was pregnant, one of the first things we did was arrange, this was back in, say, March, was arrange a meeting with our landlords to get to renew the lease. She had absolutely, I mean, this is a woman with 3 kids. I mean, she had absolutely assured us that they loved having us there, that we were a great asset to this sort of the business space that we were in. She had absolutely no intention of changing anything. We were, you know, brilliant. We just had to, you know, do the formalities. This was back in, say, March. We had asked. It was a 3-year lease. I knew they didn't really give much longer, but I also knew that a business with that short a lease is not very secure. So I'd asked for a 10-year lease. She said, oh, that sounds like something we might consider. Let me go away and talk about it. She then came back to us a sort of month later, said, no, we can't give you 5, has to be, we can't give you 10, but we might be able to give you 5. We then kept saying, great, give us it in writing. Great, give us it in writing. Just give us the lease. And then she went dead. And that was the summer. She went dead. Then I go on maternity leave and nothing happens. And then pretty much 3 months, Golda is pretty much 3 months. And pretty much 3 months. And me and Polly get an email terminating our lease.
Oh, that is cold.
Any discussion?
Zero. She said, if you would like to come in for a meeting regarding it, we could think about extending. So we thought, oh, it's a formality. We're actually talking about it. They're getting. So I phoned her up and I said, brilliant, we're coming in for this meeting. Will you be there with the lease that you're suggesting we extend. She says, nope, we're not doing that. We want the licence. We want your premises. We want it back.
So what was the letter about saying, come in and see us?
It was what she then offered us was a month, a few months to kind of wind up the business. It was nothing. It was her trying to make it sound nicer than it really was.
How shocking.
I know.
Shocking. And did you feel like mugs? Did you just feel really stupid?
Yeah, on every level. I mean, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this. If I was on The Apprentice and they said to you, what's your biggest fault? I mean, I've got many, many. One of them would be gullible. Like, literally, I took this person, this human being, at her word. What an idiot. You know, business seems to me much harsher and much unfairer than a gentlewoman's agreement.
You see the best in people. I'm like that. Oh. I just like to think that people are genuinely nice. Yes. But actually, is it really naive to think that?
I would not call yourself gullible. I would call yourself trusting.
Yes.
And actually, I wouldn't want you to change that. It's just next time you make sure you get it in writing as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, I have made agreements with people on a handshake and it's worked out well. Mm. But I think when you think about what you're agreeing about, you've got a premises in London, prices are going up all the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think on things like property, it's so much better to get it in black and white. But I don't want you to change or think what you are is wrong, because I think one of the successes of your bar and your business is because of the nature of you, that you're a trusting, open person. And I wouldn't want cynicism to creep in.
Yeah. I mean, it's all got worse since then, because Polly she doesn't want to do anything next. She's been really burnt. In fact, she's probably been far more burnt by this than I have. I'm breastfeeding. I've got oxytocin rushing through my body.
You're high all the time.
Yeah. And actually, I've been very sort of philosophical and stoic. I mean, there were tears when my landlady told me. I put down the phone and I just sobbed. Since then, I've been pretty philosophical about it and just getting on with the sort of project management of trying to wind down a business. It's Polly who's on the coal face. You know, she's the one that's looking at this space and everything we've built and how it's, you know.
Facing the staff, I guess, as well.
We both went in. Yeah. I mean, there was me sitting in a circle, breastfeeding Golda while giving my staff their redundancy notice.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, it was bizarre. It was very,
what
very
a roller
bizarre.
Coaster, though. To yes. Have, you know, to have gone through all of this, had a baby, brand new baby, and then suddenly you're winding up a business that was meant to be the thing that you were going to make a success of, that you were making a success of.
But if you look at most major successful entrepreneurs, this has happened to them at least once, maybe twice, three times.
Really?
What makes a successful business person is tenacity, stubbornness, and actually dealing with failure. Well, it wasn't failure. You ran a successful business, but somebody stymied you. But, I mean, I've said before on the podcast that you are defined by how you deal with failure, not by how you deal with success.
Right.
Success is on the great scale of things, it's quite easy to deal with in many ways. But failure and having the sort of gumption to come back and say, okay, that didn't work. Well, actually, we have a very good business model here.
Yep.
And so what we need to do in the future is to really think about premises and leases. And I mean, the ultimate goal would be to own something yourself.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Now, that may be some way off, but you know that it's not going to be for 3 years next time. You've got to negotiate something longer because you're putting so much of yourself into it.
Or walk away. I mean, and that's what... So the landlady would never have given us extra. There have been numerous businesses that have come into this big estate that would have been perfect that have walked away.
And Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And that comes big, like Sainsbury's Local, and then walking away is great, but too small to a vintage clothing store called Beyond Retro, which would have been perfect for Peckham. But they looked at the three-year lease and they said, you know what, the amount of money, the fit-out, da-da-da-da-da, it's not worth it, let's walk away. Me and my business partner were at the early stages of this and took whatever, and I'd been looking for 9 months as well, so I knew what was out there. And now that I've done it once, I'll never do 3 years.
Well, 3 years seems like quite a long time, actually.
Yeah,
when you're at the start of it, you think, 3 years, great, we can do loads in 3 years. But you're right, you've just, you know, all that money and time.
It's
has
the fit
to be,
out. It's the, right. Yeah, you've got to do the calculations. So it was a hard one.
As lessons were learned.
Yes, definitely. But what I take from this, the good I'd take from it, is you have a really good business model.
Mm.
You have, I mean, it's sad, but not surprising that your friend has really taken the brunt of it. But again, if you're entrepreneurial, you will be down for a while. But then you've got to just say, okay, well, what did we learn? And you do something that works really well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You've just got to find premises now, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing about if. I mean, I had this, sort of washing up or doing something quite banal, and I was just like, maybe I just want to enjoy my daughter. You know, that was the other sort of difficult thing is like, you know, a friend of mine actually offered me a job. I've already been offered a job doing his marketing for him for a business that he's setting up that's quite successful. Or no, it's not. It's on its way. And it would be quite a nice stopgap, you know, doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And, you know, that's definitely something that I could then enjoy Golda doing. I mean, I know how much of my heart and soul I put into setting up that business. Do I have time and energy for that again? Not at this specific moment in time. And it's hard for me to imagine a moment when I will do. But, I mean, women, parents, people have been juggling, I suppose, you know, children and a really driven career forever or something, I'm not sure. So anyway, that's where I'm at the moment, just trying to work out. Well, I suppose I need to give myself a bit of breathing space.
Definitely. And yeah, I've got two questions for you. When will it all be wound down? Have you got a date when this is over?
So the bar itself is on the 17th of December.
Okay.
We've negotiated 1 week free rent.
Nice.
To take it all out.
Yeah.
We're then going to book a storage space for 8 weeks, which is when they give the cheap space for, and set it up as a bit of a showroom and sell all our assets.
So you've got 3 weeks to do that,
yeah.
Essentially.
And then 8 weeks to sell our assets.
Okay.
So the selling of the assets, I mean, I've been doing an inventory and just trying to price it up is just a very boring thing. But, you know, we have everything from, you know, 6 cameras and CCTV to 4 fridges, an oven, an extraction, 2 sound systems.
Wow.
You know, everything.
And it all has to be sold. There's no putting it in storage and putting it onto the next thing. Can you afford to hang on to it?
So it's all really the fact that me and Polly are not carrying on together.
That was my next question. Yeah. Are you and Polly going to be business partners again, or is it?
No, and I don't think actually, I mean, it's funny because I was saying to somebody, oh, I haven't really considered it. It might be that just Polly doesn't like working with me, but I don't think so. I think I'm not sure. A few months ago, she was very much like, yes, because there's another premises that we could open up. It would be a music venue. And it would, we wouldn't actually be able to even get keys for it, for even the space until next summer,
okay.
Which suits me. And my business partner was all up for going on with that. And then she actually just was like, you know what, I can't do it. I think she's just burnt. I think she probably wants to take even like a year out. I don't know. Regroup, decide what it is she's really passionate about. I weirdly found myself able to step back from the actual nitty-gritty day-to-day running of the bar much easier than she did. And I do wonder whether that has meant she, you know, has been burnt by it more than I have, in a sense, has taken it more personally, has, I don't know, just as a bit like, you know that, what? That was really hard work.
Some people as well, I see it a lot, are just, they're great when things are successful.
Okay.
But some people find it very difficult to cope with failure. Now, what's happened to you is not a failure,
mm-hmm.
because you've still got a really successful business model. But the vicissitudes of running a business, some people are not robust enough to deal with that.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, maybe an experience like this has taught her that she wants to go and work for somebody else.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
She had, weirdly, we had already been talking about that. I think that this may have been a blessing in disguise in some senses. She had been talking about how the amount of money that we were making at that time was so minuscule for the amount of hours we were putting in that she could we could both just go off and manage someone else's bar for double the amount of money we were making for all this stress. Now, I didn't feel the stress. I saw it as a kind of buzz, the strategy of it. I was much more on that kind of strategic level. So for me, the idea of managing another bar, getting behind the bar again, doing all of that sort of day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month admin, no way. It wasn't for me at all. So I think for her, I think she just couldn't see. Yeah, but weirdly, she is entrepreneurial. She is really good at running, I think it's little, small businesses, she said, actually, like rather than some kind of, I just think it was all very overwhelming for her. So,
but entrepreneurial is not just about having an idea and setting something up. It's actually then going through the slings and arrows,
right? The ups and downs,
Of what happens. Nothing ever goes smoothly. And but I think taking a break to work out, well, how much money are we earning? How much effort do we put in?
Yep.
Now, at the beginning, it's always going to be like that. And the way that you earn is you expand.
Yep.
But again, that needs a whole load of energy.
Yeah.
And I think it's really great because you've got another focus now. You have to make up your mind about what you want. But also never forget the longer term, because it's Golda, you need to provide for her future.
Yeah, totally.
So, it's not just about, I think what you're talking about now, doing this and fitting it in with her, is wonderful. But this is always going to be a long-term plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you want to provide for her future.
Yeah.
I think often as women, we see ourselves as the maternal bit. You're forced because you are a single parent, albeit with a lot of help from the dad.
Mm.
But you are... You're going to have to provide for her.
Yeah, definitely.
You are the provider.
Yeah.
So it's what's best in the long run as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Looking at you from where we sit as well, I think you're in quite an amazing position in that, first of all, you seem to be really okay about everything that's going on, which is amazing. Oxytocin doing its thing, like you said, which is great. But also, you've already had two potential things just without even trying. You've got one guy going, can you come and do some marketing for me? And somebody, potential music venue on the horizon without even really trying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the dust hasn't settled on what's happened, with the bar.
Not.
So I really feel like potentially, without even trying, organically something might just come around for you because of the kind of network you're in, the kind of circles that you move in. You're always, this is the world you operate in, and there's always a need for people like you who can do this successfully,
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, before I had the business, I've never not had a job. I've always been employed, and if I haven't been employed, I found a way of making some money or created some weird job for myself just on a whim. Or I said to someone, oh, it looks like you need an administrator for that. Well, I'll charge you this. Da, da, da. And that was all great. Before Golda, that was great, but it was a very much hand-to-mouth existence, which I enjoyed. I don't have desire for money. I'm really not motivated by money. I really am not. And that's through my privilege. It really is. I'm very aware of that. But I'm not motivated by money. But now that I have Golda, I do want to create... that's why I started the bar, weirdly, was to create some kind of roots or longevity or something. And so that kind of being offered this and that, wish and wash, I don't think I can't do that anymore. At least it doesn't feel like it's enough anymore. You know, I wanted to build. Yeah, I was excited about building something. That's what was exciting about the bar, was building it. And the thought of losing that, if I dwell on that, that's when it does become a bit upsetting. You know, I've sure. lost that thing that I was building, has been knocked down. And it, do I have the energy, do I have the strength to rebuild it again?
Okay, well, let's do some practical next steps, Sue. Now that you've heard the latest update from Sophie, what would you say would the next practical steps be to even just help with some sort of ideas for the future?
Well, first of all, Golda will be quite considerably older. And yep. right, so that changes everything as well. She yeah. won't be as dependent on you. And yep. I'm a great believer in it takes a village to raise a child, yep. you know. Now, that might be professional childcare or it might be help with family and friends. But when you say finance, are you thinking about going to the bank and asking for a loan?
Yes.
Because what have you got for collateral?
Well, that's the scary thing. The only thing I have for collateral is my house. And I don't know whether the risk is worth my, you know, my, if my, if I want to actually, that's the only thing I've got stable in my life. And it is a great source of comfort to
yes,
me
yes.
That it is super stable and it's not going anywhere. The idea of borrowing, you know, it would cost, to set up a music venue would cost 100K. I mean, I've done very, very, very basic maths and it'd be 100K. That would definitely, and nowadays to borrow that kind of money, they ask for security. Whether you've got an ongoing concern or not, do I want to put up my house? Now that I've got a daughter for that, probably not. You know, I don't... Oh, my
no,
God,
no,
you know.
I totally get that. But that's good because that's decided. You don't do that.
Yeah.
So then, so maybe a bank is not the place to go.
Yeah.
So we know that you are very well networked. I mean, have you thought about, especially with the clientele that you've had, where would the music venue be? Would it be near where
yeah.
you were before?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So it would be the same target audience.
Yeah, pretty okay. much.
So I'm just wondering about crowdfunding and yeah. about maybe investors who have used it who might be willing to put in some money.
Yeah. Yeah,
but absolutely, as part of that costing would be a salary for you because you're yeah. not doing it for nothing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'd definitely. Have a look at what sorts of, what would be a reasonable salary. And you could start off at one level and then if it was a success,
yeah.
you know. But the difference now is you're going in with actually a lot more knowledge of the business.
Yes, definitely.
So you're a much more interesting proposition.
Yeah.
So I think, especially now with the technology that we have, crowdfunding is such an exciting place to be if you do it properly. I mean, just mm-hmm. trying to find somebody who perhaps knows something about crowdfunding that could tell you where the best venue to be to advertise for that.
Yeah.
But also, just you, do you have any kind of contact details for people who generally use the bar at the moment?
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, we've got a mailing list of about 3,000 people.
Well, it's 3,000 people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if, you know, if they put up 50 quid each.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You'd have your money and more. I mean, if you had a business plan, if you had an idea of what would this look like when it was finished.
Yes.
So that you could then pitch that to people.
Yep.
There might be local businesses, you know, who might want to invest. There might be local people who come to the bar that might want to invest. There might just be random people who think, what an interesting project.
Yeah.
In the general area.
Yeah.
But finding someone who is an expert on crowdfunding might be useful. Someone who's done it successfully might be useful.
Especially in an area like Peckham where there is this ongoing jarring up against, you know, gentrification and what's happening in the area. And then when gentrification becomes corporatization, which yeah. is the next step, that the people are, this is very much a hot topic. People are talking about this. It's something people are thinking about. So,
yeah, they really
and you're
are.
Part of that conversation and what's happened to you is part of yeah. that whole yeah, horrible yeah. thing, you yeah. know.
I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, probably what I should do come January, maybe, January, February. I mean, interestingly, the music venue is asking for proposals in January. So that gives me a bit of a time frame. I spoke to the landlords of that space and asked them quite candidly, like, what are your time frames? And January, so there's no rush in that sense. I could definitely, there's definitely some breathing space there. And then come January, I suppose it's looking, it's money. Isn't it? It's
yeah.
like, how can I, you know, how can I fund this? And also, I mean, I had a conversation with a friend who talked to me about risk, and it was something I'd never ever considered, which is it going to be worth it in the long run? The risk that you're taking to borrow, you know, £100,000 is not a cheap amount of money. It's really not. Mm-hmm. Is the payback worth it? And I suppose one quantifies risk in terms of money, right? You know, how else do you think about it? Is it worth, am I going to be making any money from this place, and being quite candid about it? And if not, maybe, you know, maybe I think about a venue in Margate. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what it is. But sitting down, and doing some hard work on some numbers and some, really sort of honest thinking, I suppose.
I mean, the idea is often the easy bit.
Yeah.
You know, because wouldn't it be nice if we could have this? But the, where it becomes much more business focused is when you do the business plan, when you actually decide on a salary for yourself, because otherwise it's not worth doing.
Yep.
Golda seems to agree.
Yes.
But also, I think any potential investor will not want 5 points on the back of a fag packet.
Yeah.
They want to know, well, what makes you think this will be a success?
Yep.
The great feather in your cap is you've already done it once.
Yeah.
And you've got so much goodwill.
Yeah.
And you've got people there who've enjoyed coming into your bar and would like to repeat the experience. Also, what Ruth says, I mean, I think generally there's a movement between trying to keep little local businesses. I think people feel very sentimentally about that.
Yeah.
So that's sort of quite zeitgeisty, I think. But what it comes down to is, do you want to do that and put your efforts? It will take a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But, or do you want to just be looked after for a while, you know, by getting a salary?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. I mean, the easier option, not easier, but just, you know, being looked after for a while would probably be a lot easier.
Well, then, what's the hurry? Don't be forced into making a decision because a particular venue has become available.
Yep.
That sort of forces your hand.
Yeah.
But there will be other venues.
Yeah. No, that is very true as well.
I'm just amazed you're having any of these thoughts with a three-month-old baby.
But you know what? What's interesting is I wasn't having any of those thoughts. You know, I wasn't planning to have any of these thoughts. I was planning just to spend. I mean, what's funny though is I got to 3 months, and when I said, you know, I said to Polly, no contact, and after about 3 months, I was a bit like, oh, I'm a bit bored. You know, I said to Polly, oh, maybe if there's anything you need, you know, do you need me to do anything? And she came back and said, oh, maybe you could do. Oh, sponsorship. Back, you could do like great. And I did a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there. I thought, oh, I'm really enjoying this. And then it all got kind of stressful because she wasn't sleeping when I thought she was going to be doing when I was, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh God, this going back to work business is, I think it's a bit too soon. I'm really not, you know, I'm really not up for it. I'm really worried about what Polly's going to expect me to do and how am I going to do it. And she's going to want me to work really hard. And then boom. It all just got absolutely blown out the window and was completely irrelevant, and I had to go in and make my staff redundant while breastfeeding. You know, it was like, oh, okay, I'm just getting on with it. I'm just doing what needs to be done. And that's basically what
I mean, it's a given that looking after a child is probably one of the most important things you will ever do.
Yeah.
And the most fulfilling and wonderful things. But also we have brains.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and especially when, they're lovely as they get older. They're just so funny and wonderful to be around. But it also gets quite repetitive and drudgy. And you're really intelligent, entrepreneurial woman. So it's about making decisions about the longer term and how to get there.
Yeah, I think the longer term, I think that's a good way of thinking about it. I think I've started, again, while washing up, thinking about, okay, what do I want my future to look like, you know, in the next 20 years? I've never thought that. I mean, it was 1 year, at most three. You know, where do I want to be in 20 years and sort of working back from that, which does give me a bit of breathing space and stops me panicking a bit.
Yeah, the long view is a good view. It's a good view to take. And also when you have a kid, you're suddenly thinking about who am I going to be to her?
Yep.
When she's at school going, my mummy does whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a big thing for me.
Something else to worry about.
That's another thing to worry about. I wanted my daughter to kind of think I did something quite cool and I did my own thing.
I'll always be proud of you, you know?
I don't know. It certainly set me on a different course, which was what was good. That was what the thought was good for, I think.
Yep.
Well, look, I think think you're going to be a success, whatever you do.
Fingers crossed.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Keep us updated. Yes,
and how lovely that the reason that we're having to have this conversation is that you've ended up with such a beautiful little
girl. Yeah, she's gorgeous. What a little treat. Yes. Well, thank you to Sophie for coming in and updating us. And if you've been on the podcast and you're listening to this and you've got news, come on in and update us about what's going on. And also, thanks, of course, to you for listening. And we are approaching the end of the series. We've got a couple more episodes, but of course, we're looking for people for series three. Of course, we're going to just keep on going. Do get in touch. Info@chalkandblade.com is the address. Info@chalkandblade.com is the address to drop us a line with your crisis or find us on Twitter @MyCareerCrisis. My Career Crisis is a Rosina Sound and Chalk and Blade production. Thanks to Sue Ahern from Creative People, of course, for being brilliant. Rate and review us on iTunes if you can. Tell a friend. My Career Crisis is a Chalk and Blade and Rosina Sound production. We are completely independent. If you're out there and you'd like to give us some money to make My Career Crisis, we would love to take it off you. Please do email us about sponsorship opportunities with My Career Crisis. info@chalkandblade.com. chalkandblade.com.
My Career Crisis.
Are you a woman? Are you over 30? Have you thought about getting a dog? Or like me, do you already have one? The reason I ask, life is hard. And the myth that when you hit 30 you have everything figured out is just plain ridiculous. And sometimes having a dog just makes things better. That's When You Get a Dog is a series about women and the areas in our lives that matter. Each episode will be anchored in one key area and we will hear stories from real women, not robots. Wait, what does real women even mean? There will even be some sprinklings of what men think. Although, who cares? Lols! So join me, Renee, every other Tuesday for a brand new topic. Hit subscribe now. Bye! Oh, one last thing. This isn't a
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.